not singing today. Thank you for the invitation to return and share God's word this morning. It's a privilege for me to do that. The traveler arrived at the airport and got in line at the ticket counter. And as he progressed up the line, the person in front of him was giving the airline employee a really difficult time. Very disrespectful language, just really difficult line. And yet the gal was just so cool and so calm, and the traveler just was amazed at it. Finally, he got to the counter and he said, "I want to commend you on how nicely you handled this terrible, evil gentleman." And she said, "Oh," she said, "it's no problem. He's on his way to Boston. His bags are on his way to Dallas. It's no problem." Anger takes many forms. Amen? Sometimes it's outward. Sometimes it's inward. Internalizing anger results in depression. It results in stress, physical damage to our bodies. How many of us would agree that anger is a problem in our society? It definitely is, right? We have riots. We see riots all over. We have the smash and grab in our cities. Half of all murders take place between family members. The movies that we watch, the games that we play are full of violent themes, violent activities. Our news media loves to report on all kinds of bizarre forms of violent behavior. They like to keep that in front of us. We're saturated in all kinds of violent behavior. And that is bound to affect us. So let's look at what God says about anger. Because anger is not evil in itself. Anger is not a sin. God gets angry, so obviously anger is not a sin. The Bible says that Jesus got angry. It's how you express your anger that is the issue. When God made you, he wired you in such a way that you could get angry. It's an emotion. God gave you the capacity to get angry. But if you don't learn how to use anger wisely, anger will destroy you. Used correctly, anger is an asset. For example, mothers against drunk driving. That's anger channeled appropriately and in a productive way. And there are some times in life where the only proper response is to get angry. When you see someone taken advantage of, when you see an injustice, when you see a child hurt by someone, anger is an appropriate response. In fact, if you don't get angry in those kind of situations, it means you don't care. It means you're apathetic. It means you really don't love people. So I'm not saying that God says to get rid of all anger, but rather God says learn how to express your anger in a way that our lives can please him. And so I want to share with you several of those steps this morning. First of all, I think it's important that we realize the cost of uncontrolled anger. Anger has a high price tag, and if I realize that, I'm more likely to deal with it. When I realize the cost, I'm less likely to give in to it. And the Bible is very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. Proverbs 29:22 says, "A hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble." Ever been there? Yeah, we've been there, right? The Bible's true. Check out these verses. Hot tempers cause arguments. Yeah. How about anger causes mistakes? Been there too, right? People with hot tempers do foolish things. Been there? Dr. Paul Meyer of the Meyer Clinics tells a story on himself. He said that he was driving along and there was a carload of girls in a Volkswagen convertible and, you know, started messing with him. Not sure how it all came about, but one would cut the other off and then the other off. And finally, sitting at a red light beside these girls in anger, Dr. Meyer took his giant-sized Coke that he just got from Burger King and tossed it over into the convertible. Foolish things that we do in our anger, right? Foolish things. I've done some stupid things in my day. Amen? You too? Yeah. Amen. Someone well said, "You'll never get to the top if you keep blowing yours." Anger costs us, and we need to realize that. In fact, we read in Proverbs 11:29, "The fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left." You always lose when you lose your temper. Maybe you lose your reputation or your children, the love of your wife or husband. Uncontrolled anger means you always lose. There's a price tag, and it's not worth it. The Bible says you can even lose your own family because of anger and have nothing left. We need to acknowledge the results of anger. Second step, beside acknowledging the results of anger, is we need to delay our response when we're angry so that we can think clearly. Lawrence Peters says, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. And we've made some of those, right? Stop and think before you speak. Don't respond impulsively. Proverbs 29:11, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it cool. He waits and lets it cool. Did you know cool it's a biblical term? Cool it. Take a chill pill. Cool down. Calm down. That's one of the steps in dealing with anger. And delay is a powerful tool for dealing with anger. And I don't mean delaying indefinitely. It's wrong to delay. If you have an issue that you need to deal with your wife or your husband, you need to deal with it. Anger delayed indefinitely becomes bitterness, and bitterness is worse than anger. Ron McManus says bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You know, bitterness is always a sin. Anger is not. But you need to deal with it after you think about it. If you respond impulsively, you're going to respond in anger. If you wait a bit, if you let it cool, begin to talk about it, think about it, you'll be more rational, more reasonable. And the longer you hold your temper, the better it gets. Give yourself time to think. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Notice that it says, a wise man waits. In other words, excuse me, anger is a choice. Waiting is an act of the will. It's something you choose to do. Anger is an emotion like every other emotion. When I worry, that's my choice. When I get depressed, that's my choice. I don't have to be. When I get discouraged, I'm choosing to be discouraged. When I'm happy, I'm choosing to be happy. When I'm angry, I'm choosing to be angry. And we don't like to admit this, but we have a whole lot more control over our anger than we want to admit. Probably the best illustration is this. You know, you're in a fight with your spouse, and things are getting kind of loud, you know, the temperature's rising, words going back and forth, and all of a sudden the telephone rings. And you've been all wound up, but all of a sudden you answer the phone, hello. Why? What has happened? You've chosen to control your anger because you don't want to show your anger to whoever's on the phone. So you have more control over your anger than you think you do. When we are angry, when we are delayed, we need to learn to ask ourselves some questions. Why am I angry? You know, what's the cause behind it? You know, am I hurting? Am I frustrated? Am I afraid? You know, what is it that I really want in this situation? You know, is what I want right? Is what I want fair? Is there a better way to solve this issue? Blowing up is rarely the way to get what you want. You need to understand when you get angry, that's not your real problem. Anger is always the symptom of a problem. Anger is the warning light. It's a bright shining light that says, stop, look, something's wrong. When you boil it down, there's really three basic reasons why we get angry. It's usually one of three things. We're either hurting, or we're frustrated, or we're afraid. Those are the emotions that cause anger. Sometimes it's easy to cause the anger. For example, hurt, you know? When you're wounded, you get angry. Do you ever stub your toe or hit your thumb with a hammer? you're angry. The emotions come out. The hurt turns into anger. And that's important in relationships, because a lot of times when your spouse is angry with you or your friend is angry with you, it's because they're hurt. And it's easier to deal with hurt than it is with anger. If I come up to you and say, you know, I'm really ticked off at you, well, your reaction is to build a wall and become defensive. On the other hand, if you say, it hurt me when you said such and such, and here's how it hurt me, then you're more likely to be sympathetic to that. We're always more sympathetic to hurt than we are to anger. And when we're angry, we can learn to say, you know what, I'm hurting. How do I deal with that? Then the person you're angry with is more likely to be able to deal with the situation. And then I mentioned that frustration causes anger. Anytime we have to wait, anytime something's out of our control, when a goal we're trying to move towards just seems to be unreasonable, we get frustrated. And acknowledging that we're in a time of frustration helps us process anger, helps us think through the situation. And then fear is a motivator to anger. The more insecure a person is, the harder time they have with their temper. People who are secure in Christ have confidence in Christ. They know where they stand with God. They're not as likely to be angered at things. It's when we're insecure. It's when we're when we feel threatened that we get defensive and self-protective. When I feel like you don't value me, or you don't understand what I said, and it didn't matter to you, then that prompts anger. When you say, you know, I'm afraid that you don't value what I said. I'm afraid you think I'm worthless. That's easier to deal with than just getting angry. Have you noticed that we don't like to admit when we're angry? You're angry. No, I'm not angry. Yes, you are, I can tell. No, I'm not angry. You know, why don't we want to admit anger? It's an emotion that God gave us, and it's appropriate in certain circumstances. When you're hurt, when you're frustrated, you're afraid, but it's how you deal with it that makes the difference. So we need to discover the cause of uncontrolled anger. We need to delay our response so we can think more clearly. And then we need to learn to channel our anger appropriately. Ephesians 4:26 says, if you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin. Does that indicate that there's a way to be angry and not sin? Sure it does. If you become angry, don't let it lead you into sin. There are appropriate and inappropriate ways to get angry. Constructive ways and harmful ways. Ways that work, ways that don't work. Right ways and wrong ways. It's how you deal with it. So what's the right way to deal with anger? First, let me say three ways not to deal with anger. Don't store it up inside. You're angry and you know it, but you just bottle it up. You keep pushing it down. It's like taking a Coke bottle and shaking it up. What's going to happen? One day it's going to pop, right? One day it's going to pop. And if you swallow your anger, your stomach is going to keep score. Or any number of other physical things that the doctors tell us are brought on by suppressed anger. It's not being Christian to shove your anger down inside and cover it up. Don't do that. Also, don't deny it. Oh, I'm not angry. Everything's fine. Yes, my husband's an alcoholic, he's totally irresponsible, but everything's fine. Yeah, my spouse spends more money than we can possibly make, or we're always in debt, but everything's fine. That's denial. That's repressing anger. And when you repress it, when you stuff it, when you deny it, it turns into something different. It turns into depression. Counselors tell us that when people admit depression, they're most often dealing with anger. I'm so depressed. What are you angry about? When you deny your anger, that's lying. That in itself is a sin, isn't it? Being dishonest. You see, there's honest examples of anger in the Psalms. David tells it just like it is. You know, sometimes in the Psalms he says, God, life stinks. Life's unfair. My enemies are all against me. Things aren't going good. And God, I'm not too excited about you right now. God's not shocked by that. God can handle your anger. It's okay. If you want to know how to pray in anger, read the Psalms. And after David gets it all out, he says, I know you're going to help me in this. Where else can I turn but you, God? Nobody else has the answers. Then the third way not to deal with your anger is don't express it in inappropriate ways. We can express it angry in a lot of ways. Like some people are pouters, right? Their lip gets about 5 inches long, you know. Everybody has to walk around on pins and needles. Everybody has to baby you because you're upset. Some people become sarcastic when they're angry. But that sarcasm comes back to haunt you. Because you think you're good and witty. But what you're doing is destroying a relationship with words. Hurting people with words. Some people may not be sarcastic or pouters, but they're manipulators. Their goal is to get even. How am I going to work this out so I can get even? I've got to figure out a way. Maybe it's passive resistance. Maybe it's something else. But you figure out a way to express your anger. And then, of course, there's a lot of other crazy behaviors. Some people get drunk. Some people, you know, have affairs, all kinds of stupid things. But anger makes you senseless. You do dumb things. But here's the thing to remember. As Job said, you only hurt yourself with your anger. So what do? You don't blow your stack. You know, there's a myth about anger. This myth says, well, everybody has a reservoir, maybe like a bucket of anger. When that bucket gets filled up, you need to pour it out. You know, once you pour it out, you feel a whole lot better, and you'll be peaceful again. But that's not true. People think you have a bucket of anger. No, you don't have a bucket of anger. You have an anger factory. And that's what God says. That study after study shows that releasing anger only creates more anger. And being aggressive creates more aggression. Being loud and angry creates more anger back at you. And then you get angrier, etc. It doesn't relieve or reduce anger. It multiplies anger. So don't blow your stack. Don't deny it. Don't stuff it. Just admit it. Not only admit it, but admit the cause. I'm upset, and here's why. I'm hurting. That's why I'm angry. I'm frustrated. That's why I'm afraid. I feel threatened. And the more honest you can be, the easier it is to deal with the root cause of your anger. Notice another thing we should do in Proverbs 22:24. Keep away from angry, short-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them. And this verse is saying that anger is contagious. When people are getting angry and shouting in your face, isn't it easy to catch it? Anger is contagious. Happens all the time in families, you know. You've heard it. Dad comes home stressed out and he yells at Mom. Mom turns around and yells at Tommy. Tommy yells at Susie. Susie kicks the dog. Dog bites the baby. The baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. You know, the cycle is just repeated. Anger is contagious. But circle the word learn in that verse. The Bible says, keep away from angry, short-tempered people or you will learn to be like them. And that's an important word. How you express your anger is a learned behavior. It just didn't come naturally. We learned to be a pouter or a manipulator or an exploder. Maybe you learned it from the playground. Maybe you learned it from your parents. Maybe you've seen it in your siblings. But those are inappropriate ways of dealing with anger that you've dealt with. The good news is, since the inappropriate ways of expressing anger are learned, they can be unlearned, right? You don't have to go the rest of your life being sarcastic or a pouter or an exploder. You can learn to express anger appropriately because it's a choice. And not only that, God says, I'll give you the power to learn a new way. You can change. We don't have to stay the same. Maybe you grew up in a home where anger was focused on you in an inappropriate way, and it hurt a lot. The good news is you don't have to do that to your kids. You don't have to do that to the people around you. You can change with God's help. So we need to realize the cost of uncontrolled anger. We need to delay our response so we can think clearly. We need to channel our anger appropriately and admit the reasons behind it. And then we need to decide to return good for evil. We can't afford to give other people control of our lives by choosing to react. And Booker T. Washington once said, I will never let another man control my life by making him hate me. You know, when you say you make me mad, you're admitting that somebody else controls you. I've allowed somebody else to control my emotions. The Bible says the way that you show you're in control of a situation is by returning good for evil. It's easier to retaliate, but when you get even, you're on the same level as the person who hurt you. When you respond with good, it puts you in a superior position. Romans 12 says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never avenge yourself. Leave that to God. Overcome evil with good. God says you've got one of two choices. You see, you are going to be hurt in life. You are going to be disappointed. People are going to do bad things to you. So you can spend all your time either retaliating or trying to get even, or you can let God settle the score. Maybe you remember the scene from Forrest Gump movie when Jenny is returning to her childhood home. And that childhood home reminds her of the intense pain of abuse that she had when she was young. And as she walks up to that house, she begins to cry. And she picks up rocks and begins to throw them at the house. And she throws them more intensely and more intensely until she finally just collapses crying. And Forrest Gump says, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. And that's the truth. There aren't enough rocks. You see, you can't repay that evil. Unresolved anger leaves us reaching for more rocks and more rocks and more rocks because rage is not satisfied. Contentment is not found. But we can let God settle the score. And God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. God is a just God. And he's going to settle the score for the injustices in life. Not just here, but in eternity. When someone has hurt you, who can do a better job of settling the score, you or God? Who has more resources at their disposal to settle the score, you or God? God says, let me handle that. I want you to respond by overcoming evil with good. Now, all the steps that we've talked about today are very helpful, but I've not said the most important thing that needs to be said today. Unless you get a power beyond yourself, you can't do those things that you need to do, that I need to do. Delay my response when I'm angry? Do good to the one who's done evil to me? Right. The problem is I don't have enough power to manage that, right? Do you? The Bible says it's beyond my ability from a human standpoint to do the things that I need to do. And that's why we get down to this last point of dealing correctly with our anger. This is the point that ties it all together. Please hear this point if you've not heard anything else. We need to ask for God's help. God says, I want to help you respond correctly to anger. You can't do it on your own. I want to help you discover the cost of uncontrolled anger. I want to help you delay your response so you can think clearly. I want to help you direct your anger appropriately to admit it, admit the reason behind it, and decide to do good. And he'll give you that power. Notice what David says in Psalm 141, verse 3. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me be careful about what I say. How does he help? How does God help us manage our mouth and control our anger? He does it by going right to the source, right to the root, right to the cause of it all. Here it is in Matthew. Whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Jesus deals with the root cause, and he says that the heart of the issue is the issue of the heart. It's not my mouth that gets me in trouble. It's my heart that gets me in trouble. It's not what I say. It's what I think that comes out. He said, whatever is inside of you is what comes out. If you're filled with irritation and the world puts a squeeze on you, then like a toothpaste tube, irritation is going to squeeze out. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. You know, we've all said this. You know, I don't know what got into me. I'm not that kind of person. I mean, it's not like me to say that. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It wouldn't be coming out of your mouth if it wasn't in your heart in the first place. You can't clean up the well by simply painting the pump, right? If the water's contaminated, you've got to get to the source. And the source is not my mouth. The source is my mind, my heart. It's what I allow inside. My mouth betrays what I'm really like. Jesus explained the Freudian slip long before Freud knew there was a slip. He says it comes out from the inside. And my words demonstrate my heart's condition. So someone with a harsh tongue is demonstrating an angry heart. Someone with a boastful mouth is demonstrating an insecure heart. Someone, you know, there's just so many ways that our mouth shows our heart. Someone who has a judgmental heart, always putting everybody else down, is demonstrating their own guilty heart. On the other hand, if I allow God to give me encouraging words for other people, it means I've got a happy heart. If I've got gentle words for people when they're down, instead of kicking them, shows I have a loving heart. Kind words and comforting words show I've got a heart of peace. What you say shows what you're like on the inside. And when God changes us, he doesn't just paint the pump. He gives us a new heart. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person inside. The old is gone and the new has come. And David prayed a prayer that we should be praying every day, huh? Create in me a clean heart, O God. God specializes in heart transplants. All the self-help books, all the tapes in the world can't do that. All the therapy in the world can't give you a new heart. Only God can do that. And he does that when we are born from above. When God, by his Spirit, gives life to our crushed spirit. And he gives us a new attitude. He changes our mind. He changes our heart. When Jesus deals with our anger, he deals with the root. He says, you're angry because you're insecure. Let me show you how you can be secure. And he gives us his confidence and his power to replace our insecurity. And he gives us his love to replace our hurt. whether we've been abused or neglected or whatever. He gives us his peace to replace our frustration. And when you say, God, I can't control it, he said, that's okay, I can. Would you trust me? And when we trust him, the anger dissipates and the peace that passes all understanding comes in to guard our heart and our mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you pick up a crying baby, you know the baby's crying because he may be hurt or afraid. But when you pick the baby up and comfort it, the baby feels secure and stops crying. When you realize how secure you are in God's love, how he will never stop loving you, that he has a plan for your life that will help you with every issue that you have in your life, that's what Jesus came to do. That's what he wants to do as we turn our lives over to him. And then we can relax. And we won't have to express our anger in sinful ways. Dr. Elder Benjamin Simpson spent his whole life preaching and teaching the truth of what he called the Christ life. And he wrote a song that expresses the true answer for dealing with the anger that we find inside of us. And the song is based on Paul's statement in Galatians 2:20, not I, but Christ. There are several songs based on that, but this song has a prayer as the chorus, and I want to close us with this prayer this morning. He says, oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Can I say that again? Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it might be no more I, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. Would you make that your prayer this morning? Maybe God has been talking to you this morning. Maybe you're examining your anger. Doesn't matter all the ways that you've improperly expressed anger. God says, let me do some heart surgery. Give me your life. Give me access to your heart. And I'll take it. I'll mold it into something new. I'll exchange your frustration and your hurt and your fear for my power, my peace, and my love. Lord Jesus, each one of us needs your power today. We need your peace. We need your love in our life. We need to stop trying to control all the stuff that makes us angry and start letting you control it so that we can relax and trust in you. Father, I want the peace of God to rule in my heart. I want you to work in my life and in my mind. And so together, Lord, we ask you today to give us the power to take the practical steps starting right now. Lord Jesus, we open our life and our heart to you, inviting you to be number one in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.